So what you don't know about Erin, and what I'm going to say because she's not on stage, is that Erin is the reason that all of this happens. So Erin is the reason that I'm able to do what I love doing, and I love leading women in the Word of God. I love being able to teach you guys. I love being able to provide opportunities that help you grow in your knowledge of the Lord. So, and Erin is the reason that all that is able to happen, that I'm able to do this, that you guys are able to come. And so when you see her, if you ever see her, just tell her thank you, because she will never say that about herself. And you'll always see her in the background back there hiding. And so since she's hiding and not up here with me quite yet, I thought I would let you all know who the MVP of Women's Equip is. All right, okay, so you all have your folder on your chair, and you have your Christian Beliefs book. You have a cute little note in there. You can actually, this morning, we're gonna kinda go walk you through that folder. In the folder is your study guide. And so we're gonna walk you through that folder so you can kinda open it up and get a picture of what's in there. I'm going to start by just, so this book that you have, Christian Beliefs, this has 20 chapters in it, 20 things that Christians should know about what you believe. Now, why this is important, this is kind of like a big word that you maybe have heard. It's called theology. Okay? Now, that ology word just is a Greek word meaning word or life or idea. You've heard it in words like biology, right? A word or idea of life. Anybody give plasma at the BioLife place, right? Or you drive by it, BioLife, it drives my kids crazy. It's like life. That doesn't make sense. But biology is the word or idea of life, okay? Theology, theo means God. So theology is simply the study of God's words himself. So what does God's words actually say? And that's what we want to study with theology. So when you put it like that, it's not super intimidating, is it? Like, we just want to study what God actually says about himself through his own words. And so, because it's what God says about his word, it's going to be unified. Everything's the same from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is one unified message in the Word of God. Because that's who God is. He is unified. He is the same all yesterday, today, and forever. So he's always the same. So his message will always be the same. So that every chapter in our book is going to build on each other. So the first chapter today, we're going to talk about what is the Bible. We're going to go through the Bible. And then what is God? And then what is sin? And what is man? Every chapter will assume that you understand the chapter before us. Now here's the tricky thing. You're going to get to a chapter over these next 6 weeks and you're going to go, I'm not sure about that. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And that is exactly where you need to be. Okay? That is a good place for you to be, because that's an opportunity for you to wrestle with God a little bit. And that's that next step that takes you into a deeper spiritual maturity in your walk with the Lord. When you come to those hard places and you learn to wrestle with God and let him give you some understanding, and he can take you into that next step of understanding, that's when that depth in your spiritual walk starts to happen. So that's kind of the goal over these next 6 weeks as we jump into theology, into understanding and studying what God says about himself, that we learn how to wrestle with God a little bit. So we're going to jump into our study guide. Erin's going to start with that.
So if you'll see on that first page, there are some scripture readings. So if you would take a look at that, what it is a part of the road. So if you attend Keystone, you may have seen these journals, heard us talk about the road before. But what we have with this Women's Equip opportunity to study God's word in the scripture form. Because we're going through the book and its topics, it's all supported by scripture. So what we've laid out each day are the scriptures that will help cement that topic or point you to where it's expanded in scripture. So it's a great place for you guys to spend just a few minutes every day going through the road. So you are given a journal. The very first page will show you exactly what the road stands for. So read, observe, apply, and discuss. So those are the four steps we want you to take when you're looking at each of these scripture passages. Read it first, What is it about? What does it say? What are you observing? What are you taking notice of? How can you apply that to your life? And then what does that look like to discuss that with God, with others, kind of just within yourself? What is it about that scripture? How does it relate back to the book and the topic that we're talking about? So each of those days, you'll see there are five different days of scripture. So we give you 2 days off, but it will be a great way for you to support kind of what we're talking about through the book, through the study guide, by actually doing the road with those scripture verses.
You want to do scripture memory?
And there's scripture memory. Let me do that now too. If you look at the beginning page, so the first page has both of those road on page 1 and 2, then page 3 at the top, you'll see scripture, meditation, and memory. Each week there's been selected a passage for us to meditate on, to memorize. Some of these are easier than others. Some of them you may already know. But the importance is that we're treasuring God's word, that we're storing it up in our hearts. And one way to do that is through scripture memorization. If you've done other equips with us, you know that memorization is an important piece of what we do here. And we didn't want that to go away just because we're doing a different type of study. So that's an important piece that each week you'll have the opportunity to focus on that. Maybe it is a challenge for you and a progression for you to challenge yourself to memorize that. Maybe it's just reading it every time you do your study, that it just becomes a piece to focus your attention as you study each week. So each week you'll see that at the top of the page. So pay attention to that and take note and use that as an opportunity to be drawn closer to the Lord.
All right. And with the scripture memory, in the past you've done it at tables, this time we're going to do it all together. So you'll come in here at the beginning of every time you start every Wednesday, you're going to come in here first, and Aaron will lead you through. We'll all recite it at the same time together this time. So they'll be on the screens, and we'll all recite it together. And then we'll teach right away. So what you've studied all week long, you'll come in, and we'll teach over, and then you'll go to the table second and kind of talk through it. So we're reversing the order of things that we usually do it just for this time. Okay, so the study guide questions, and if you look, there's all these questions, and I hope that you write the word guide all over this, because this is what it is. It is a guide for you to engage your heart with the things of God. It is not a completion task, okay? It is a guide, not a completion task. And that's important, because when you come to some questions, God might use that question to prick your heart and be like, do you really believe that? Are you just given a Sunday school answer, or what's the underlying belief there? And you need to sit on that question for the whole week and not worry about the other questions in the study. And that's okay. The guide is there to give you enough places to help you engage your heart. So the goal is for you to wrestle through things with God each week and let him use the questions to engage your heart. It is not to simply complete it. Doesn't mean be lazy and be like, oh, I just wrestled through number one all week, you know, and give yourself that out. It means like press in, say, okay, which one of these questions may God want to use in my life this week to engage my heart in deeper things with him? And then press into that. If you complete all of them, that's great. I'm going to bet, like we get to the election week, I'm going to bet most of you don't complete them, right? Because that's going to be a hard one. That's probably when we get to the things of heaven, and when we get to what? Justification, sometimes that's hard. There's some topics here that we got to press into, but they're foundational beliefs that God tells us about in his word, and so we've got to understand them. And so we're trying to give you that opportunity to wrestle with God through those things.
After the study guide questions in each chapter, there's application and prayer. So that's how each week will end, is with those. And that's where we'd like you to spend a lot of your time. As Carrie mentioned, if you don't get to all of the questions, that's fine. But make an effort to get to that application and prayer piece, because we feel it's really important that you see what the content was, how that really applies to your life. How does that play out? What decisions does that force you to make? How is that affecting your life? And we see that in the application. So make sure that you spend some time on that. And then the prayer piece is just helping you learn how to pray with scripture. So each week there's scripture there, and it's our opportunity to really think about what is the Lord teaching you? How is he comforting you? How is he challenging you? And in those prayers, you'll be able to see that. Spend some time asking the Lord to reveal where it is in your heart that you're struggling, or where he can fill a void, kind of what is standing out. So there's lots of different ways, and your table leaders will be able to help you think through how can you pray through that scripture? Is it reading? Is it underlining? Is it circling? Is it just sitting with certain words? We want that to be a time where you can really focus on understanding what God is saying through his word and what it means to you. So that it's not just content out there. It's actually, what does this mean for me, for my life, for my family, for my walk with the Lord? And we'll go through that as part of your table discussion too. So make sure that that's prepared. And then at the very bottom, your prayer partners, two simple questions, but they'll take some effort in thinking about what would you want to be held accountable for? What can the other ladies in your group know to support you throughout your week?
So hopefully, if you've done a quip with us before, you know this about us. If this is your first time, it is a value of us, of ours, to help you progress in your walk with the Lord, right? We want to set the bar as high as we can, and then we want to set the grace bar even higher, okay? So, and what that simply means is we want to set the bar high, and we want to say, hey, you know, God has great things for you, and we want to push you to progress at least one more step in your walk with the Lord. Wherever you are now, we want you to take a step closer to God by the end of this time. And so we're going to set the bar high for that. And that means each of you are at a different place, and so you've got to determine what is that step that you need to take. And so we're going to offer all those opportunities, the prayer parts, the scripture memory, the study guide. We're going to offer as much as we can, and then it's up to you to decide where is it that God wants to push you over these next 6 weeks, and what do you need to press into. The only thing I would say would be mandatory for you would be those prayer partners, the application and the prayer partners. I would really love for you each week to force yourself to answer that question. This week, God revealed to me, and ask God to say, what did you reveal to me? What did I learn? And please pray for me. And you're going to be able to share that at your table groups, because we are each other's cheerleaders. You are each other's best cheerleader right now. And so we want to be honest, be like, hey, can you pray for me like this? And then set alarms and reminders on your phone to actually pray for each other. Okay, I'm setting a timer on my phone so I don't go into your small group time today. Okay, so here's where we're going to jump into today. We are going to jump into chapter 1. And I know you haven't read chapter 1, so I'm going to teach through chapter 1. And while I'm teaching, I'm going to actually give you some of the answers to the study guide. So if you have a pen on, I think everybody got a pen, everybody has a study guide, I'll kind of tell you when I'm jumping to different questions. So you'll have some of that study guide already finished by the time we finish our teaching time today. So chapter 1 says, what is the Bible? And that very first question in your study guide said, what should all Christian beliefs be based solely on? And everyone said, the Bible, right? Because that's the Sunday school answer. That's what our kids would say. But here's, all of you are intelligent women with a great brain. And so here's where we got to take it. All Christian beliefs are based solely on the Bible. That means they're not based on any sermon. They're not based on any great teacher. They're not based on any great podcast. They're not great on ancient wisdom. They're not based on anything. They are based solely on the Bible. Why is it that we have to base everything on the Bible? Why only the Bible? That's the question that we got to take it to as intelligent adults here. We can't just, our kids can be satisfied with the Bible and Jesus, and we got to take it one more step and ask the question, but why? We need to understand why in order for us to truly believe it. So what we're going to do this morning is kind of break down what is the Bible actually, and so why do we base everything solely on the Bible? And so question 2 asks you the characteristics or the categories of how we kind of talk through the Bible. And so I'm going to go through that too. The very first category of scripture, how we would categorize scripture, is that it is authoritative. It is the authority of God given to you. And so what does this mean? It means God, the God of the whole universe, has all authority, right? Well, he has told us several hundred times throughout this book that these are his words. You see, starting in Genesis, you see him actually speak them directly to Adam when he's saying, okay, you can touch this, to eat off this tree, but not this tree. You see him, Abraham, hey, Abraham, I'm going to bless all nations. You see direct words from God to people. You see in Deuteronomy, he starts to say things like, I'm going to put my words in the prophet's mouth and they'll speak to the people for me. You see, in the New Testament, Paul's saying every word of God is, these are every word of God. You see over and over, thus says the Lord, like hundreds of times throughout scriptures. You can Google how many times they say that they're God's words. It's hundreds from Genesis to Revelation. These are God, the very words of God. And the cool thing about that is that God, in his all authority and wisdom, knew that they needed to be written down. So you see, we saw, if you were in Exodus last semester, you saw him, the very finger of God, wrote the Ten Commandments into the tablets, right? Why is that? And then he commands Joshua, we went through Joshua, write these words of the law down. And he says, Jeremiah, write these words of the law down. He commands people to continue to write down the words of God. Why? Because when they're in written form, they can be examined, they can be passed along accurately, they can't be changed based on what society thinks or views at the time. You can go back to original manuscripts and look through them and make sure they're accurate. So God, from the very beginning, said, write these words down, and we have his written form right here. So it is the written word of God that has authority over our lives. It's the written scriptures that 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training, and rebuking in righteousness. So sometimes a good question, and it's number three in your thing, is like, well, how exactly did God write these words, right? Did he have like a typewriter? I think as a kid, I had this image of God with a typewriter for some reason. I don't know why. So I think there's four verses there in your study guide that kind of go through this. And you can read those for yourself later, but I'm going to give you the answers as we kind of go through. So John 14:26 tells us the Holy Spirit actually brought things to remembrance. So the Holy Spirit actually spoke to these men, brought them to remembrance, and said, hey, write them down. And then the Hebrews 1:1 says, actually the prophets, there were many and various ways that the prophets heard from God, that God spoke to the prophets. So there's so many ways we can't even just list them. There's many and various ways God spoke to the prophets, and the prophets spoke to the people, and his words are written down. Revelation, God actually dictates words to John, and John's like just transcribing what God tells him to do. So it's like a dictation. And then in Luke is kind of fun because Luke, he was a doctor, a physician. He gathers eyewitnesses and historical accounts, and he makes sure everything's so accurate. He is an eyewitness himself. And so he sort of gathers all these eyewitness accounts when he's writing his book. So we have all sorts of different ways. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got all sorts of different ways God speaks to prophets. We've got actual dictation from God. We've got eyewitness accounts, historical data. There's all sorts of different ways that God actually wrote his words. But the point is, they are God's words. And so here's why saying they have authority is important. Because sometimes we want to use historical data or logic or science to say, can we prove the Bible exists or the Bible is true? Well, when you're going with historical data or logic, you're saying if that's what is going to prove, then that has more authority than the Bible. Whatever you're using has more authority than, right? So you're saying the historical data has more authority than God himself, because God has said these are his words. So if you say the Bible has all authority, we can use historical data and logic and science to support that it's true, but we don't use that to prove that it's true, because that's actually trumping that God has the most authority. Do you see how that kind of works a little bit? Keep thinking on it. I've been thinking on it for like 2 weeks here. And here's the kind of the cool thing about it, is that if we say, or cool thing, this is kind of a hard statement, but if we say that, yes, okay, we're going to say that God is the authority in all the world. He has said, told us himself that these are his words. God cannot lie, and not only is he only, can he only tell the truth, he is truth. That's a description of him. He is truth. He cannot lie. So therefore, if every word in here is God breathed, is written by God, and it has ultimate authority, if we choose to disobey or disbelieve parts of Scripture, then we're choosing to disobey or disbelieve God. That's why it's important for us to understand that Scripture has authority, right? So how many times have we thought, well, maybe that part is just out of context, or maybe that part just doesn't apply, or maybe I just don't agree with that part. But if we say the Bible has all authority, then every single word is written by God. So if we disobey or disbelieve any aspect of this, then we're disobeying or disbelieving God. The written Scripture should have the final authority in our life. That should be freeing. You don't have to guess. That should be freeing. Like, we can read God's word and know exactly what we're supposed to do, which leads us to the second category, the clarity of Scripture. So this means that Scripture is written in such a way that all things necessary for our salvation, for our Christian life and growth are very clearly set forth in Scripture. It is not like, anybody ever been to an escape room? Yeah, a couple of you, I've done one with my 14-year-old daughter. It was her and I. And it was like, find something in a magnifying glass and then go to the bookshelf and find that exact same page in the right paragraph so I can go enter in over here, and then a laser is going to reflect over here, and then maybe I'll get a secret code that might open a pocket, right? That's not Scripture. Scripture is not an escape room where you have to like search and try to find the mysterious code so you understand it. Scripture is written in a way that is clear enough for understand salvation, Christian life, and growth. Now, this doesn't mean it's not hard. There aren't hard concepts. Peter says in 2 Peter 3:15 through 16, he says this, "So also our beloved brother Paul," which if you've ever read anything that Paul's written, sometimes it's confusing, right? So I love that Peter said this. "Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction." So here's what Peter's saying. There are some things hard to understand. They are not unclear, but they are hard to understand. And the spiritual person, the person who has the Holy Spirit, in those moments when it's hard to understand, here's your course of action. You say, "God, this is hard to understand. I'm going to press into you, and I'm going to ask you who gives understanding to help me understand. And I'm going to keep doing that over and over and over again until you help me understand." The foolish person says, "This is hard to understand. I'm going to create meaning as quickly as I can and move on." And that's when Scriptures get manipulated and twisted and become something other than what God intended. When we come to those hard passages and we try to interpret them quickly in order for our brains to just move on and pass over. The hard passages are our opportunity to step in and wrestle with God for a few minutes and let him, or a few days, maybe a few months, until he brings those understandings to our minds. So they might be hard to understand, but they are not unclear. And I love this because Jesus in the New Testament, anytime somebody came up to him, he never said, "Oh, I could totally see how you could misunderstand that Scripture. Let me clarify for you." He never once says that when someone's walking in sin. Instead, he goes, like, "Have you not heard? Do you not know? Have you not read?" Like, Jesus assumes that if you've read the Scripture and you've asked for understanding, that you clearly know, because the Scriptures are clearly written. It's not this confusing thing for us to do. So we have the authority of Scriptures, the clarity of Scriptures. The third thing is the necessity of Scriptures. The Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel, for maintaining spiritual life, for knowing God's will. The Bible is necessary for knowing the gospel, maintaining your spiritual life, and for knowing God's will. So the Bible's not necessary to know that God might exist or knowing maybe a few things about his moral laws, but to really know the gospel, to really maintain your spiritual life, and to know God's will, it is necessary. It's why we've given you the road, why we've written an extra piece here. It's optional, but I pray that you'll still be in your Bible because the Bible is necessary for our spiritual life. For salvation, for the gospel, you must either have read why Jesus is the only way and read God's plan and understood it and put your saving faith in Christ, or someone else read it and then preached it to you in order for you to be saved. The Bible is necessary for us to understand that gospel. It's also necessary for our spiritual life. And so Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 4:4. He says, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Out of the mouth of God. So here's what it is. Anybody run marathons in here? Any marathoners? We got one back there. Any triathletes? Anyone who does like competitions, physical competitions of anybody who way back in the day before you had babies or had to be an adult and work, do fun stuff like that? Yeah? Where you know what it's like to, you have a big event coming up, so what do? The week prior. You monitor your food, you make sure you're eating enough. The night before a big race, a big event, you're gonna fuel your body in a way that in the future, when it needs that fuel, it will be there. The moment you're eating it, it doesn't actually need it, right? But you know the importance of fueling your body in a way that in the future, it can use that so you don't die when you're about to do whatever you're about to do. Our spiritual life is the same way, and this is what Jesus is saying. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. So we fuel our body with the word of God daily, and some days we may not feel like we need it, but we are fueling our body with it, for in that future, when our body needs it, it will be there stored up for him. It is necessary for our spiritual life. And it's also necessary to know God's will. There are clear and definite statements about God's will in the Bible. He has not revealed all things to us, but he's revealed quite a lot about his will to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 is one of my favorite verses if you're ever struggling about God's will, if you're ever struggling with this. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So there are some things that are secret that belong to God, but there's a lot that is revealed to us through his word about his will for our lives that belong to us. So the very last question in your study guide says general revelation and special revelation. And this just comes in with this will of God. So general revelation is something that revealed about God from an outside source. So like you see the sunset. Hadn't even risen this morning, had it? No. Nope. Maybe when we leave, we'll be able to see the sunrise. And you can say, oh, look, God's a creative God. That's a general revelation. It's not coming from scripture. It's just an observation in nature. A special revelation is looking in scripture and understanding what God's actually revealed and then using that to interpret general revelations in life. I have a friend that she was convinced God was leaving her little love notes everywhere because everywhere she looked, there's like heart-shaped leaves and heart-shaped icicles and heart-shaped things everywhere. And she was always posting pictures of hearts. Look what God did. Look what God did. Well, it's out in nature. That's a general revelation. She can bring it back to scripture and study God and say, okay, so God actually, this is what God has revealed about his character and who he is. And I can interpret all these little hearts in my life through the lens of scripture. And that's a special revelation. Those are special just for the people of God that read his word and he reveals his will to you. All right, last category is the sufficiency of scripture. The sufficiency of scripture. So we have the authority, we have of scripture, the clarity of scripture, the necessity of scripture, and now we have the sufficiency of scripture. The Bible is sufficient. It contains all the words of God that he intended us to have. Everything we need for God to tell us about our salvation, how to trust him perfectly, and how to obey him perfectly is in his words. This is a big one. Because sometimes we think it would be really, really nice if there was a second book that said, this is just for me, that says in 2020, this is the car you should buy, and this is what the price you should ask for it, and this is how long it's going to last. Like some of those things we think, but are you sure the Bible's sufficient? But this podcast just really does it for me more than the Bible. Are you sure the Bible's sufficient for my spiritual life? And so that might be something that we've got to struggle through this week. Like, do I really believe the Bible is sufficient? Because here's the sweetness about this, right? There is something pretty sweet about reading the Bible, getting to understand who God is. And then you come to these passages that says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And suddenly you're like, I have spent so much time in God's word, I do know him. And now I'm walking onto the car lot intimidated, but I know God's voice because I know him so well because I have believed the Bible is sufficient and I've spent more time in it than I have chasing after other resources. And I've gotten to know him through his own very words because I believe the Bible is sufficient. There's also something kind of freeing about believing the Bible is sufficient. If any of you grew up in a traditional background or maybe have a family who has a lot of Christian traditions based on you, sometimes, I know I did, there were certain traditions that they were like you were going straight to the bad place if you broke them, right? And I felt like you feel like, ooh, you got to be this right person and behave this right way. And as I started to study the scriptures, I'm like, oh, wait, they don't actually talk about that. That was just a good way for the church to make sure I was a good little girl and never disobeyed, right? So when we believe the Bible is sufficient, we can take our traditions and things that maybe feel make us feel not free, and we can line them up against scripture and say, what does the scripture say about that? And we can follow what the scripture says and let go of everything else that hinders us, everything else that weighs us down. And we only have to follow what the Bible says. That should be freeing too. So, what is the Bible? The Bible is the very authority of God, which is why we base our beliefs solely on it. The Bible is clearly written for us to understand our salvation and what we need for Christian life and growth. The Bible is necessary for us for our spiritual walk, and the Bible is sufficient in us to get to know the Lord. It's kind of powerful, isn't it? Makes you want to go read your Bible, or it makes me want to go read my Bible right now. So here's what we're going to do right now. Table leaders, if you want to go ahead and head back to your tables. I am going, in just a second, we are going to go out to your tables. You can sit wherever you want, and you'll sit at the same table the whole time, so these will kind of be your women, your people. So get to know each other this morning. You're going to kind of talk through the rest of this study guide and work through it and kind of talk through whatever I said this morning that maybe was good, bad, confusing, you agree with, disagree with. Have those conversations at their table, because the more we interact with this material, the more it will start to penetrate your heart. Next week, so you'll study this next week. Over this next week, read chapters 2 through 3 and do the study guide over that. So chapter 1, we're doing all together today, study guide and chapter and taught today. Next week, you'll come back for the teaching, having read chapters 2 and 3 and worked through that study guide. Okay? All right, let me pray over you, and then you guys can go out and find your table. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the time you've given us and just for the truth that your word should be authoritative over our life, Lord, that it is clearly written. We don't have an excuse not to jump in, and that it is necessary for us if we want to continue to grow in our spiritual walk, and it is sufficient. Lord, forgive me for when I doubt that or when I try to confuse that or try to justify why I don't want to jump into your word. Lord, just forgive me. Give us all a desire to jump into your word in greater ways this week, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.